Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise. Noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name is Andy Bunker. That right there is Randy McMichael.
Hump day.
Wednesday here in the Kia Studios. So much to get into. We'll get into what's trending coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Now, as always, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929. We're on social media as well, the radio station at 92.9 The Game. I am at TBM929, Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. Wendy Adams and Brian Gebhardt producing the program today on the other side of the glass. They're waving at us. We're still working on it.
Yeah.
Now, Wendy's going to come in studio a couple times today, the Wendy Zone, obviously. We're also debuting a new 1240 segment called Word Association. But that's a long time from now, Randy.
Yes.
We don't need to be worried about that right now. What we need to be worried about right now is the fact that my guy, I'm not going to go that far.
Hold on, yeah. Because,
not going to go that far.
Okay, because I've been saying your guy, you like.
No, he's not my guy.
Yeah, and that's what you're saying.
He's not my guy.
How is he my guy?
He's not my guy. But someone's guy, Brian Snitker's guy, Luke Jackson, came in last night and got a 3-out save for what feels like the first time in the entire season. And I've got a lot of questions about what happened last night, about why it happened last night, about what it says going forward. Just him, Brian Snitker, that is making the decision to put Luke Jackson out there last night, I think said a lot of different things, and we've got a lot of questions about it. One of them being, are the Braves willing to be flexible in that way, in the bullpen? Because they're willing to be flexible in seemingly every other way. They've moved the rotation around, sent guys down, brought guys up, sent guys to the injured list, moved guys out of the rotation completely. They've moved the lineup around. I mean, they moved Ronald Acuna from fourth to first, Donaldson from second to fourth. Albies has moved all over the place. I mean, they've done all kinds of different stuff with the lineup. The one thing they seem unwilling to do, and I actually kind of support it, and I'll tell you why in just a minute.
All right.
The one thing they seem unwilling to do is not make Luke Jackson the closer. That's the one thing that Brian Snitker is unbending on. He's not going to be flexible whatsoever. At least with the players that he has on his roster right now or in the minor league system. Like, Luke Jackson is just going to be the closer of the Atlanta Braves, for better or for worse. Last night it was for better.
Right. Well, his name's LJ.
LJ.
Okay, he was 77. He is LJ after that performance. And I take my hat off. I'll always, if you do it right, I'll always praise you. And he was awesome last night in his save attempt. That was a great play by Charlie. We were in the bullpen wondering, would Raleigh have made that play?
Right.
Yeah, but still, you got to give credit where credit is due. And that heater to cap it all off was really good. But it does seem like that everybody's a movable part except for him. And I know, as in being a former athlete and all that, the confidence that a coach, a teammate, an organization, if they instill in you, that gives you more confidence. Now, just because you got confidence, you still got to go do your damn job.
Right. Confidence is great, but you have to also have ability.
Exactly. And I don't care. I mean, he's still not a closer to me, you know, and that's just what it is. But right now, it just seems like it's being forced to us that he's going to be the closer for the foreseeable future.
And I agree with you. I don't think he's a closer either long term, but he's definitely the closer now. And I think yesterday, by the way, I like that you're calling him LJ today, because yesterday he was 77.
Yeah, but he can easily go back to sevens.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Very easy. Oh, because 77, sevens is even worse than 77. But LJ, I mean, how many saves in a row does he have to get before he actually gets his name said on the radio by you?
I don't know, because this is why. All right, this is why.
Because I know that he's worried about that.
Because
Randy won't say my full name.
He ain't even think about me. But
yes,
this is how I look at it. Every time you praise anybody on this daggone pitching staff, they just let you down. I mean, everybody except for the two young bucks. I mean, every single time we praise somebody, he's coming around, they end up doing something different. All right, so I'm just gonna call him LJ and be done for now, because he looked good yesterday. He did, but overall it was a funny game, because it was only three hits, but still, you know, those are the games that you worry if the Braves can win.
Yeah,
those games like that, those 3-2 games on the road against a very good baseball team. Those are the ones you worry about, and they were able to get it done yesterday.
Yeah, that was a good team win last night.
Yes.
That was a team that has reasonable playoff expectations. Wins a game like the Braves won last night. It was a good, solid, grinded out on the road win, and they got it. But again, going back to what happened in the eighth and ninth inning, if you were ever going to stick with Anthony Swarzak into the ninth inning, didn't last night feel like the night that you would have done it?
Yeah.
Given the way that Luke Jackson has pitched his last couple of times out, given that Swarzak got out of that jam in the eighth inning by only throwing seven pitches. And I think if he would have done that, and I guess this is where I'm getting at in terms of, like, what does your concern have to be here? Is it just about winning and losing, or is there what's best for the baseball team, or is it also you have to be worried about managing egos and worried about the way that guys are feeling? Because if you would have kept Anthony Swarzak in the game in the ninth inning last night, that would have broken from what you'd done so far with Luke Jackson.
Right.
And I think that would have sent a pretty clear message that Luke Jackson is definitely not our cemented closer right now. It's up for grabs, closer by committee, whatever it is. And the worst thing that could have happened is if you would have brought Swarzak in the ninth inning last night and he would have blown it.
Yeah,
because then you lose the game. Swarzak proves that he's probably not a closer either. And Luke Jackson's worried that he might have just lost his job and you might have messed with his confidence.
But my thing is, I don't think it would have bothered him if he would have blown it. He would have been out there like, see, you should have left me in there. See, you should have put me in. Because you remember coming into the season, it was supposed to be closer by committee. It's supposed to be Vizcaino and Minter. They were going to be the closer by committee. And, you know, Vizcaino, he's hurt. Minter, he gets sent back. Now he's back in a role where I don't even think they know where to pitch him. I mean, as far as where he's going to be at. But, I mean, it looks like it's LJ for the time being. And last night, I mean, that's the thing. That's what makes you mad about him, because he does do things like that. I mean, I never said LJ didn't have any talent. Never said that. I just said that the role that he's in is not beneficial to the team. But, you know, every time he gets one, and it was a high-level situation.
Oh, yeah.
It was a high-level situation, and he did his job. But I'm not going to praise him because he did his job. That's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. That is what he's supposed to do. I'm just more focused on the confidence that, or the unbending nature with which that Brian Snitker went about that decision, because we've been talking about it for so long, right? And there's been plenty of opportunities to maybe say, yeah, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to try something else out. And Brian Snitker continuously hasn't done that.
Yeah.
And this is something that we've talked a lot about throughout the season, is Brian Snitker's loyalty and to certain guys. And I think one of the reasons Snitker has his job in the first place is that he's a loyal guy.
Yes, without a doubt.
I think loyalty is probably his greatest attribute, but it also might be his biggest enemy in certain situations. And we've seen it come back to bite him before in the past, where he just sticks with guys over and over and over again when maybe he shouldn't do it. I think last night being loyal to Luke Jackson was the right thing to do, because I don't know that you have an obvious upgrade right now on your roster. Now, I think it's different if you go out and you make a move and you bring somebody in who's a proven closer, because I don't think that sends the same message as, all right, we're just going to try something. We trust you so little that we're going to try somebody else out who's never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a different message if you go out and make a trade and bring in somebody who has a proven track record, like a Will Smith or whoever, to come in and be your closer. I think that looks different if I'm Luke Jackson. But it just, to me, it seemed a very... It seemed a very obvious vote of confidence last night from Brian Snitker to Luke Jackson to throw him out there when he could have very easily stayed with Anthony Swarzak.
Was it the right decision because he got the save? Because
for multiple
reasons, a lot of
times
when you talk sports and everything, and you talk about a player who, or any a player that's been struggling, and then all of a sudden he goes out and has a good performance. So this could be in any sport. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, see, I told you. We always knew LJ, he can pitch. All right, let's get into it. He got some good stuff or whatever. It annoys me how much he has beat my man B-Mac running after them loose pitches that he be having all the time. But right now, to me, it just seems like they're settled with him. And I don't like that feeling. Because I heard when we were coming in, I heard Hugh say it. A lot of people may probably turn the TV off when he found out Luke Jackson was coming in to save that game. And I just sat there and I was just like, okay. All right. He didn't suck. You know, that I mean, that's that, because if you look at all the blown saves, I know blown saves, they do happen. I get that. But not at the rate that he's going.
No, he's got the most in the entire league.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the frustrating part about it, because when the Braves are in these 3-2 type situation in games and everything, and you're going to have the lull in the lineup, because the lineup ain't going to rake the whole time. We know that. But you got to find a way to win a game. You got to find a way to go out there and do your job. And you know, I'm looking at this right now. I mean, you look at Dansby didn't have a hit. Freddie didn't have a hit. Josh Donaldson didn't have a hit.
Nobody
did. Marcakis didn't have a hit.
Acuna.
I mean, Riley. I mean, look at all the
– B-Mac, Acuna, and Ozzie, the only people that got hit.
And sometimes it's going to be like that. And then when you're going into the bottom of the ninth or the top of the ninth, do we have faith that we're going to win this game when he comes out? Like, what was your faith level last night when 77 came in?
Full disclosure?
Yes.
I fell asleep.
Okay.
I fell asleep after Anthony Swarzak got out of the – I don't know how.
Well, okay.
It was such a intense – it was late. I don't know. I fell asleep. Well, and then I woke up this morning and there was all kinds of tweets and all kinds of stuff, and I watched the video. I was like, oh, wow, look at that.
Well, Braves fans, text is on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. What was your confidence level?
I know the
when
answer.
You found out when Luke was coming in. Even though he got the job done.
People are nervous.
Yeah.
You're nervous when he comes into the
baseball. I mean, it is what it is. He's put us in that position as Braves fans, and you're like, damn, here he comes.
But I think, and I bet you that in his heart of hearts, Brian Snitker was nervous too.
I'm sure he was.
To go out there. He's like, I'm sticking with him because this is what I do, because I'm Brian Snitker and I'm loyal to my players. But what he, you know, all right, go get 77, bring him in here, let him close out the ninth inning. I guarantee you he's sitting there, whether he's sitting on the bench or he's up on the top step of the dugout or wherever he's watching it, he's got a little bit of nerves going, a little anxiety in his stomach as well. But I also think that's why you do it last night. I think that's why in the anxious, and you had the decision whether you're going to put Swarzak or maybe give somebody else a shot. All right, we're going to give it to Jacob Webb tonight and let him be the closer. If you would have done that last night, then I think you run the risk. And I think the closer position is different than any other position, because we were talking about this before the show. Like, why can you move around everybody else? Why can you move Acuna from fourth to first and that doesn't mess with his confidence?
It's a big difference.
Because the closer is so much about the mentality to be the closer, to be in that spot, to want to be in that
because
spot.
It's a pressure. I mean, it is a pressure filled position, man. Where you're that guy. Where and we talked when we talked to Smoltz, he was talking about it. You know, he felt worse giving up blowing a save than he did losing a game.
And doesn't it feel like if maybe you're not cut out to be that guy in the first place, which I don't think Luke Jackson necessarily is, it would make it even harder if the manager says pretty clearly that he doesn't have confidence in you either.
Yeah, and another thing, when we had Joe Patrick on and he was talking about, you know, listening to Brian Snitker, seemed like he was kind of fed up with Folty. He's been sounding like that a lot lately when he's talking about some of these pitches.
Yeah.
He has. He's like
not Luke Jackson, though.
Yeah. He had that tone yesterday about Julio Teheran, like, I'm not tired of this, y'all. You know, I've been loyal to you, man. You about to get me fired.
We'll come back and let you hear some of the other good stuff from the Braves game last night, as well as what in the world Frank DeBoer is talking about here.
They are like a wounded animal, you know?
Huh? DeBoer's going hunting?
Huh?
Goodness gracious. We'll get into that and more coming up next at What's Trending right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
92.9 The Game. First pitch swing is hit a mile high toward left. Schwarber going back. One pitch. 1-0 Atlanta. He almost hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he did. Ronald Acuna jumped all over the first pitch of the game, giving the Braves a 1-0 lead early, which lasted for a while. What lasted for even longer than that was that was the Braves' only hit for like 2 hours. We got into the seventh inning before they got another hit. It was crazy. But luckily, they were able to get two more hits. Brian McCann gets on, and then Ozzie Albies jumps on a first pitch as well. Midday show here with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The trending topics of the day: the Braves win last night against the Cubs 3-2. A lot of interesting storylines coming out of last night. We'll get back into some of the loyalty that Brian Snitker showed to his closer, Luke Jackson, and putting him back out there last night in the ninth inning in a close game. High leverage spot, Randy.
Yes, he was.
And he came through. You know what else people need to mention? I know no one likes to do this. They just like to nitpick or snitpick every time Brian Snitker does something that they don't like. The defensive substitution last night for Charlie Culberson to take over for Austin Riley was a great move by Brian Snitker.
It was. And again, I said it earlier, we were talking, would Austin Riley have made that play? We don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, and Charlie's such a baller. Charlie Clutch. But, yeah, going back to Acuna, I mean, I just turned to the game. I mean, just literally flipped it on. And I was like,
First pitch.
Damn. Oh, well, all right then, Ronald.
They're going to have to learn, because if you hear the very beginning of that highlight, you could hear that Francoeur is still getting out his final thought, his final pregame thought.
First pitch swing is hit off.
That Ronald Acuna might jump on the first pitch. Because he's done it before. So, I mean, look, I know it's we're all getting better as broadcasters, and this is first season in the booth. Ronald Acuna is liable to hit a home run at any time, and then we found that out last night. The other crazy thing about that home run was, I mean, it looked like a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
He hit that thing, and I know, you know, launch angle, exit velocity is not your favorite thing in the world. It was a 46-degree launch angle on that thing.
He is up. He roped it.
Yeah.
He went and got it, man, and then, you know, you see the young guy, Ozzie, because Ozzie had his way with the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's played really well against the Cubs so far in his short career. But, yeah, I mean, you got to win games like this. I mean, we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. How many times can you win a game that you're, 7-6 or 8-5 and things like that? And I got Dave O'Brien just had an interesting tweet I saw a little while ago. Said the Braves have 10 wins in games when trailing after the sixth inning. So, I mean, that's why I was like, you can't turn it off.
10 wins in games when trailing after the sixth inning.
Yes.
They scored two more runs last night in the seventh inning or later. They lead baseball in every offensive category in the seventh inning or later. You know what's interesting about that, Randy, is obviously that's a compliment to the offense, to the lineup, to the hitting. And that's kind of a compliment to the bullpen, too. I mean, to win games that you're losing in the sixth inning or later means the bullpen is doing something to keep you in those games, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I will give credit when credit is due. They have been. But is that going – are we going to put our hat on the fact that they're pitching well right now when we're in L.A. in the playoffs? Are you not worried?
I'm worried still.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still worried.
Yeah.
But there are pieces that I like.
I mean,
there are
course.
Pieces that I like in
it's
the bullpen.
It's not just completely trash.
No, it's good. But it's not finished.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect word. It's not finished.
Yeah.
You know what, Bunk? I'm going to start going with that one. It's not finished. When is it going to be finished, Bunk?
July 31st, hopefully.
Okay.
Or before that.
See, I can't deal with hopefullys right now.
Well, that's all I got for you.
I mean, I need it done, Bunk.
Well, I don't have a crystal ball in front of me.
All right. The Braves fan coming at me.
Uh-oh.
Now, and it's not good when it comes out, because I usually
Fandy McMichael.
Fandy McMichael's coming out. I need it done, Bunk.
Well, if I was up to me, I'd be in there moving and shaking right now. It's not. It's up to Alex Anthopoulos. It's not my decision to make. Here's another question I have for you, and we can get back into this in 15 minutes when we get back into what happened in the game last night. Do you think that Brian Snitker's loyalty transcends just his decision-making on game day?
Yes.
Do you think that when they have conversations about deadline deals and needing to go out and get guys, do you think that loyalty goes into those conversations too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, Andy, you know, honestly, outside of maybe Bill Belichick, that's what any coach, you want to take care of your guys.
You do.
And then Snicks, it's a lot different with him because he's been in his organization so long. He's been hands-on with so many of these players for so long.
It's true.
So, I mean, of course, sometimes your emotions get in front of the business aspect of it, or the part where, yeah, I know we need to upgrade this, but I think this guy can come around, you know, stuff like that. And
right.
I'm sure he thinks a lot like that because of how he did get his job, coming from, you know, being in his organization for all those years, coaching up in the minors, and then getting promoted to that job. I'm sure a lot of it does deal with emotions because you did see a lot of these guys come in.
Well, I wonder what those conversations are like. And I don't even know if we could ever find out if we asked Anthopoulos or Snitker how much communication there is when personnel decisions are on the verge of being made. When
when
you're going out there and you're going after Keuchel, is that something that Snitker has a say in? Like, what do you think of Dallas Keuchel? Or is Anthopoulos just doing that on his own?
He would have to, right?
I mean, I would hope so.
He's still the manager.
I would hope so.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Yeah, Alex, you run the team and everything, but Snick's still the manager. He's got to put these guys in position, and I'm sure they have conversations. I'm sure, but the ultimate decision is Alex Anthopoulos.
Because I think we understand, we have a pretty good understanding of how it works with Lloyd Pierce and Travis Schlenk. I think we understand that. It's pretty open communication there. I think we have a really good understanding of how it works with Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn.
Definitely.
But I don't really know the dynamic between Anthopoulos and Snitker, and that does just with knowing how loyal Snitker is to some of his guys, mm-hmm. if that could get in that. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. Now, Ozzie Albies was a big part last night, Acuna as well. Snitker talked about those two guys after the game.
Yeah, I love the energy. I love watching those guys play. I love watching them warm up. I love the energy in the dugout, the enthusiasm with which they play. They have fun playing baseball. I said, and I said this last year about them. What a novel idea, enjoying playing baseball. And they do.
I love that clip because it's funny because when he talks about a veteran, it's real somber and chill. When he talks about those two kids, he just it amps him up.
It did.
It amps him up when he's talking about Ronald and Ozzie. And it should. I mean, it's fun watching these kids because when they moved over to SunTrust and and you're just dragging behind and all you're hearing about these guys and for us to watch them and watch them grow, because he's right, they're learning on the job.
They're 22 and 21 years old.
They're learning on the job and they're doing a damn good job learning.
They are now the Major League Baseball record holders. This is sort of a weird stat, but it's true. No teammates under the ages of 22 have ever homered in the same game more times than those two guys. They've done it 7 times now.
It's always fitting, too.
It's great.
It's always fitting.
And last night they had to. I mean, they won the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Acuna in the first, Albies in the 7th, both on first pitches. It's great to see them doing with it. Ozzie stepped on that pitch, too.
He did.
To
then,
right
then
center.
Another one.
Just crushed
it. When was it, the 8th? Was it the 9th? The one that when they had bases loaded, and he just, Ozzie, just wait on it, and he just golfed it up in there.
He was close on that one, too.
Yeah. Oh, that dog don't miss it, Ozzie.
And that gets back to what we were talking about earlier in the week about the best young core in Atlanta sports. It's hard to argue with those two guys.
Yeah, man.
Especially with what else is going on around them.
You're talking about those. They might be starting an All-Star game.
They might be.
They might be.
And they're both signed to long-term contracts.
Yeah, so that's the most important thing.
It's a very good situation for the Braves.
They are like a wounded animal, and wounded animals are really dangerous, So they're playing at home. We are one of the rivals, of course, these last couple of years. And yeah, they want to have revenge for those bad results.
That was Frank DeBoer, obviously. I'm sure you knew that. The Atlanta United manager talking about Toronto FC saying that they're a wounded animal. Now, when I had only heard the part where he said that they were a wounded animal, I was like, oh, so he's thinking they're going to go up there and, like, prey on them.
Right.
But he was saying they're a wounded animal, which is scary because wounded animals are more likely to lash out because they're worried for their lives.
Right.
That instinct takes over.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting metaphor used by Frank DeBoer. Atlanta United takes on Toronto FC tonight in Canada.
Yeah, they're without a lot of their guys, and some injured, a lot of them for international duty and all, just like Joseph Martinez is. And, of course, Mike Conte, he gave you the list of guys that are going to be out for United tonight. But, yeah, I mean, this is the first time in a while that United's played a team where they got more rest, even though they had to travel. And I think it was Gressel had a great tweet about them going through customs yesterday. And all that long line to get through the custom to get to Toronto. But I don't I'm worried because there's going to be so many guys. It feels like it's going to be one of those Gold Cup games where, you know what I'm saying, like you got some of your guys, but you don't have all your guys in there.
U.S. Open Cup.
U.S. Open Cup. Thank you very much. There's so many damn cups.
Although Mike Conte told us it's not going to look like that. I said that to him yesterday, and he very swiftly rebuked
I'm just talking about the personnel itself.
Me
that's,
too.
That's all
Look,
I'm talking
I'm
about.
I'm with you. I thought the same way.
Because we've been through this before when they were going through that gauntlet. Well, they got all this depth. All right, but it's a good depth.
So we're going to see Brandon Vasquez
and
tonight
as
the striker.
We have Longshore tonight, right?
Yeah, 120.
Today, 120. And I want to, because I want to know, what is his role going to be when they come back? Like, how are you going to use? Because this young man's been getting busy.
Well, so, especially if he does it in MLS.
If he does this, if he goes out and continues that the way he's been playing, what do you do when a Joseph Martinez comes back? Because Joseph's striking now.
Sit him down.
Yeah, Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Goes and sits on the bench.
Go on over, sit down.
Put one of those like neon yellow pennies on and go sit down on the bench.
Yeah, because I'm like, can he play anywhere other than there?
I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying.
They've tried to, and that's the thing. He's finally in a role, Brandon Vasquez, that he's fit to play. He's a striker. They've had him on the wing before, and it hasn't been great in MLS. I'm interested to see what he looks like in that role in MLS tonight because he's done it in the U.S. Open Cup. No reason to think he can't do it in MLS either, but you're right. When Joseph comes back, hopefully soon, go Argentina, by the way, on Friday. I'm rooting for Argentina on Friday.
Why are you rooting for Argentina?
Because I want Venezuela to lose, and I want Joseph Martinez to come
back. Why would you do that? Venezuela's been going through some stuff, man.
What? Like what?
As a country, they've been going through some stuff.
I'm not up on all that
stuff. All right, don't. I mean, Argentina, why we root for? I mean, I love Argentina because, you know.
Because what?
Because I just like them, man.
You like the jerseys?
Like
the light
jerseys,
blue and
the
white?
Light blue. Maradona was one of my favorites.
Messi, yeah.
Yeah, so. But still, I'm rooting for Joseph, all right?
I am also rooting for Joseph to come back to Atlanta as soon as possible.
Yeah, all right.
We'll ask Jason Longshore about that later. Does that make you a bad Atlanta United, or me a bad Atlanta United fan?
Yeah.
To root against Venezuela?
Yeah.
Even though it's in Atlanta United's best interest?
But it's our guy. Our guy's trying to, he's trying to help his country do something.
What color does Venezuela wear?
They're maroon, aren't they?
Yellow and
yellow
red or something?
Something like that?
I care about the black and red, Randy.
Me too.
That's it.
Me too.
All right?
That's what I care
there's
about.
Five too. Stripes across the front. Although there's like 13 of them now, but whatever. They're still called the five stripes.
I think this needs to be Georgia's year. You know, just the way it's gone against Alabama the last couple of years, to not be able to get there again. It's not just that it hurts you in that year. It becomes a big brother, little brother type thing where you got to eventually be able to get over that hurdle and get over that hump. And I think this is kind of that year.
That is the voice of Tim Tebow, minor league baseball player, talking about Georgia versus Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
In college football,
right.
Because he's also an SEC network analyst that's as well.
Yes.
He moonlights, I think, as a baseball player, although he's in AAA now. He's going to play in the big leagues this year. In September, Tim Tebow is going to play Major League Baseball.
Why?
It's going to happen.
Why?
Because the Mets are a joke.
Oh.
They're busy arguing with reporters and having to make, you know, second and third apologies and all that stuff. Might as well call Tim Tebow up.
Might as well. But
do
no,
whole circus of a franchise.
He's right. I mean, they are the big bro. They are, and until we beat them, that's how they're going to look at us. We've led both times last time we played them and collapsed both times. So, yeah.
We're going to talk about what he said there and Georgia more specifically coming up at 11:20 this morning. A lot going on in college football. A report out today that they're going to make it harder to get your transfer waivers granted as well. The NCAA is going to make that more difficult. So we'll get into all that at 11:20. NFL No Huddle, top of the 11 o'clock hour. Back into the Braves coming up next, though. Brian Snicker's loyalty going to help or hurt the Braves long term? We'll get back into that right after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One of those things, couple of guys having discussion.
Andy Randy!
Andy Randy!
Andy Randy!
That's a good way to describe the show from 10 to 2. Just a couple guys sitting here having a discussion. Midday show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to do an NFL no huddle. Plenty of NFL topics today, including, do you want to get into what I heard John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas talking about this morning?
Dating?
No, not dating.
Oh, okay.
Now, you and I are past that.
Yeah, man.
We're married. We don't have the interesting Tuesday night dates like John Chuckery does to come in here and tell stories about.
Because you know what
that's it, what we have Wendy for.
When I start, when I first,
that's why I'm supporting Wendy in her dating endeavors.
You know, before
we'll
I got,
talk about all that.
Before when I first started working here and getting to know a lot of the guys, before Jahi and his old lady got together, and Craig, they were single guys, and you know JD, our one of our street one of the young men that work with Mike,
the promotions, guys.
The promotions. Thank you. Like I would live vicariously through them. Uh-huh. And I'd be like, "What'd y'all do last night?" And they tell me like, "Cool." Oh, man, I remember I used to do that, you know, and now, you know, it's John Chuckery. We're living through John Chuckery now.
That is an
that's
interesting
scary.
State of affairs, isn't it?
That's scary.
That is a crazy place we've gotten to.
Yeah, that's scary.
My buddy is in town. I picked him up from where he came in from the airport yesterday. He was at a bachelor party in Miami over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to live vicariously through those stories.
Yeah.
That was
epic.
That was just even hearing about it makes my liver hurt.
We've had one, two, three. Like four of my partners, we've all had his bachelor parties in Miami.
All in Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're not talking about bachelor parties or dating or anything like that. Talking about John Chuckery's statement about Matt Ryan and the Super Bowl and what it means for his legacy. So we'll get into that and more, and plenty of shade being thrown by the national media at the Falcons as well. Coming up top of the 11 o'clock hour. Get into what Tim Tebow said about UGA at 11:20 as well, and some other college football stories. And then, of course, the Wendy Zone, an hour from right now. As always, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's open, 404-741-0929. You can watch us on watch929thegame.com. Deshaun Tate out there running the TriCaster. Let's get back. What?
I was waiting for the TriCaster.
Oh, okay.
Because you gotta be careful what you have on these screens with the TriCaster.
You're darn right.
Because she thought that I was looking at some nudity. And Mike Bell had a chick up on here,
uh-huh.
And she was watching it one day and had the screen. They're like, "Who is that? You're looking at?" I'm like, Oh, I didn't even notice.
Well, so that's why sometimes I get.
You got to watch it.
You got to be careful about who you follow on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people will retweet stuff that they shouldn't be retweeting.
Well, they're grown, so like they can retweet it.
Very NSFW retweets. I mean, and all of a sudden, you're reading about, oh, Dave O'Brien said something about the Braves bullpen. That's interesting. Oh, Mike Conte tweeted something about Atlanta United. That's great. And then some guy you followed back when you used to host the night show retweets porn, basically. And then that's on your screen at work. And that's not good. Yeah, nobody needs that.
Yeah, you got to watch yourself.
But, I mean, the boss hasn't been here in 2 weeks, so nobody's going to get in trouble for looking at porn on their computers anyway. Let's get back to the Braves from last night, though. And Brian Snitker talking about his decision to stick with Luke Jackson in the ninth.
He was really good. I mean, he kind of fought himself the other day in Washington, and tonight he was sharp and very strong.
He was. He was sharp. He was strong. He did fight himself the other night in Washington. He fights himself often when he's out there on the mound. Last night was now it almost wasn't. If it wasn't for that Charlie Culberson great catch on the first batter of the inning, I don't know. Who knows what it would have turned into. The first batter always gets on with Luke Jackson.
It does. So, and that was the key right there.
Very nice that Culberson bailed him out. But he rebounded from that very well, struck out the next two batters. Got the last guy with just some nasty, nasty heat.
It was nasty.
And that's why he's in that role, because he can do that occasionally.
But not all the time. LJ, the occasionally, I don't want to hear the occasionally. All right. If you're going to, I mean, and we said it earlier in the show, it looks like for the foreseeable future, that's going to be his role. I mean, it just looks like that. I'm sure if there's a situation tonight, they'll probably trot him back out there tonight. That just seems like that's where it is with him. And, of course, I think it comes down to a loyalty. Does it come down to maybe just Snicker is not comfortable with anybody but him?
I think that's part of it. Absolutely. I think that's
part of it. So what does that say about everybody else then?
Well, it says that there's not a closer on the team right now. And, I mean, I don't know that that's that much of an indictment, though, is it? Because not everybody's a closer.
Well, I mean, we know that.
How many good closers are there even in Major League Baseball right now?
A handful.
12?
Handful.
10?
Yeah.
Not one of them pitches for the Braves.
No,
we understand that. But one of them hopefully will. And I think when we go back to what he did last night, because he could have very easily stuck with Swarzak in the ninth. He could have brought somebody else in the ninth. But what he did to me was he said that Luke Jackson is our closer until someone better is brought here.
That's exactly what it
because
is.
Because to continue to play, you know, to juggle and have a closer by committee, like you said, he doesn't trust anybody else to do that job. And I think that that's smart. At least if you're going to stick with – because what's the success rate going to be if he's going closer by committee? I guess you could stumble upon one of these other guys being really good.
Yeah.
But it seems more likely that it would be a lot similar to what we've seen with Luke Jackson. Like sometimes they'd get it – probably, what's it, like 65% of the time right now is his close rate?
Mm-hmm.
So he's blowing about one out of every three saves.
Which is not
– it's not good.
That's horrible.
No, it's not good at all. I mean, he's still on pace, if he's the closer for the remainder of the season, to have more blown saves in 1 year – than anybody has had since 1987. I mean, we're talking about 30 years since somebody had as many blown saves as that. So, no, it's not good. I respect the commitment to the decision that you've made. And I mean, maybe that's the wrong way to go.
If you're going
to
make the decision,
maybe you need to be flexible. But I think this is one of those spots where being inflexible is the right choice.
Well, he's been flexible pretty much with everything. Only thing he hasn't been flexible with is cakes at the five.
Yeah, that's not going to change.
Yeah, cakes at the five. And Luke Jackson.
And Freddie Freeman at three.
Well, we already know about Freddie. That's anybody.
That's explainable.
Anybody comes in, Freddie's going to be number three. But then, I mean, you know, the leadoff has been flexed. Whoever's hitting the number two spot. I mean, Ozzie, it depends on who's catching. Ozzie hit seven or eight. I mean, it's been so much going on with him. But this is, I mean, he has got his boots in the ground on this decision right here. LJ is our guy. If he blows it, he just blows it. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to put him right back out there in the next opportunity for him to save a game. That's where it is. I'm going back to what you said a little earlier. He's our guy until somebody comes in and is better.
Yeah, because I think that that's an easier one to explain.
Is it to explain?
Because
explain
I
what?
Feel like all right, we're putting in Will Smith as our closer because he's got 20 saves this year and he hasn't blown one yet. That's what we're putting in. We went out and traded to get him to do this. Now, we're going to move you to this role in the bullpen because this guy is here and he's more proven. I think, but again, maybe that's the wrong way to go about it. Like, because that to me is definitely treating Luke Jackson maybe with kid gloves a little bit. You're worried about his psyche.
Well, that's all these damn pitchers.
But I think that's a part of being a manager, isn't it? Like, don't you have to, obviously you have to do what's best for the baseball
right,
team first
right,
and foremost.
Right.
But I think you also have to manage egos and think about how guys are going to perceive things. And if you would have kept
perceiving it in what, a bad way because you got the close. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, man. See, that right there is what upsets me right there is going back to what I talk about, the sensitive behind athletes. Dude, you're not getting the job done. Yeah, you did good yesterday, but look at your save ratio, look at your percentage, whatever you want to call it. You see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, I mean, it's common sense to sit there and say, like, oh, they brought this guy and ain't blown a save yet. Well, I know I've blown like 12 of them, but you know what? I'm coming around. Like, really?
I know.
You going to get upset about that?
You're logically right. If you look, but also you got to understand, and you know this. You know what your save ratio is. You've blown a lot of saves. But it's also valuable to have the manager continue to tell you, all right, but we still trust you. The reason we decided to use you in this spot is the same reason we're going to keep you in this spot is because you have the stuff to do it. You take him out of it. Yeah, he knows that he's blown those saves. But then now he knows the manager doesn't have confidence in him anymore.
Well, see, I wouldn't look at it as that. I would look at it as, okay, this is the role that they think that will help this team. Because sometimes you got to put the team in front of yourself. I go back to what Lloyd Pierce said when we had him on Monday, what he was talking about, how he tells players his communication with them. Hey, you're not going to play that much today. Hey, Luke, when we get LJ, when we get this guy in, you're going to go to this role. You don't like it, so what?
And I think that would be a reasonable way to go about it.
All right, then.
But it might hurt his feelings. We'll come back and get to an NFL no-huddle. Including another list in which the Falcons were disrespected. We'll come back and get to an NFL no-huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.